Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Sunday morning news and information podcast produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the Warrior Lawyer Johnny. Look, the Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst and home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing missionary. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team. And good morning to everyone in the city of Detroit.
Great. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, missionary Hattie Humphrey. We wish you well this morning. Shout out to you. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Great. Minister and gospel artist Randall Smith, part of the Sunday morning team. Good morning, Minister Smith.
I'm glad to have a big brother like the Reverend John Cooley.
Great. Thank you so much. We know you're probably on your way to service this morning. Thank you so much for jumping on the line and being a part of the program today. Our special guest this morning, been trying to get this guy on for a while. He's pretty busy. CEO, chairman for All for One Detroit. A community organizer, a worker, hard worker, Mr. Ismael Terry. Good morning, Mr. Terry.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. To your whole squad, thank y'all for bringing me out.
And we're looking forward to a lively conversation. This is one of those, there's about five people in this town that I consider very hardworking people. They don't want the limelight. They don't want the cameras. They don't want the pictures and all that and the awards. They're just out here doing the work. And Ismael Terry, you're one of those five in this great big city of ours, and I'm honored to even have you here in the studio with me.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Chaplain Kathy from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, also musician, minister. Good morning, Chaplain Kathy.
Good morning to you, Mike. Good morning to the guests today. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to the missionary. And I just send peace and blessings to the city of Detroit this morning.
Great, great. All right, we're going to take a station break. When we come back, we've got Ismael Terry here. I just want to also make a couple notes about things, too. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Comprehensive, and it's not expensive, essential for financial help. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything
all right, we are back. And I just wanted to, I haven't done some poetry in a long time, and I just thought I'd just slip one in this morning, especially since I've been doing some more than usual for Black History Month. And in, you know what, in Black History Month, it's not for me, and I know many of us, it's not going to be just for February. It's for every month, every month. We don't have to just focus on it in February. We can celebrate it in February, but it's the focus 12 months out the year. This is called Throwback. This ain't a new thing. I'm a poet now. I let my words stand out in the crowd. I say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Save the spotted owl? Forget that. Somebody save the black child. Come on, y'all. Stump your feet. This is the throwback to 1973. Come on, snap for me. I let my words do the talking. My words are ready to pour. I don't have my afro anymore. Back then, the blacks were still poor. You could say things were hardcore. My cousin Rudy robbed the liquor store, got to catch him on my next tour. Might as well close the prison door. This is a throwback, back to slavery and more. Way back when they crossed the open seas, when the master broke apart the families, ropes so tight you couldn't breathe, strange fruit hanging from the trees. That's why I had to write this poetry. I'm going way back when Michael Jackson was black, when you called your father Mister, when black people were brothers and sisters. Worked so hard you got blisters. On the first date you barely kissed her. When the Panthers held their fist up. When Richard Nixon had his mix up. When Hollywood dissed us. Everybody said Merry Christmas. The gravy train always missed us. Found out justice was just us. Saw smoke from Detroit in the distance. We all caught the Rosa Parks, refused to sit bus. I let my words do the talking. I hope that I'm able to slip a couple more in some programs so that, you know, we can bless the audience. So that's called Throwback, and that will be in the next book coming out, my second collection. All right. Ismael Terry is here. Like I said, one of the five people in Detroit that I admire for working hard in the community. And just wants to improve things. Thank you so much, Mr. Terry, Ismael Terry, for joining us here on the Michael Van Tool Show.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I've been knowing you, Michael, for a long, long
time. Yeah.
I've been here like 20 years, 20-something plus. I remember your days at the bank.
Yes, and that's when we met, because you were out.
I was doing my All for One business with the community, and I was doing a basketball camp, and I was looking to pick up some banks, financial institutions to be partners with to expand on our programming, and that's how I ran into to you at, I think it was at TCF, wasn't it?
It was, you were at a community event, and
right.
we I brought my bank, my team over, I think from Flagstar.
Flagstar, yeah.
And we had a table set up at one of your events.
Yeah.
And that's how we met.
And I was just like, okay, I just got to get to know this guy.
Yeah, and you know what? And I was amazed at how much you were getting done even back then.
Yeah.
You know, because I came from the banking world and everything's about money and it's about measure in money and how much money you make. And you are out here just like working, volunteering.
Yeah, I'll burn the candle on both ends of sticks when I met you. I had the opportunity to put all for one inside of the O'Shea Recreation Building at that time before we were closing Recreation Building in 2004. Because a lot of people don't know, I started all for one in 2000. In Ann Arbor, over there in the west, south side of Ypsilanti and West Willow and Michigan Avenue, the real hard parts of Michigan, of the University of Michigan area.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2004, I was asked to bring All for One here by Charlie Beckham, as well as then Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick.
So what is All for One?
Oh, so All One is a nonprofit 501c3 charitable organization.
And what is your mission or aim?
To empower positive development,
mm-hmm.
be it maybe educational institutions, financial institutions, community building, or community development. If you think of it, you can imagine we've been a part of. We created a different department inside of All for One, which was Pleasure Heights Economic Development Corporation. As you know, we work hands-on with May Neighborhood Initiative, which is MEDC, which to your audience is Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And we were working with them to redevelop Dexter and Linwood, Livernois, Joy Road, up to 14th and Boston Edison. So we came about, we redeveloped the neighborhood park over there by Aretha Franklin and C.L. Franklin Old Church over there by New Bethel, right there on Linwood. So we redeveloped that park. You can actually go there now and see that. We were one of the first organizations to get the art mural. As the city and Rochelle Riley is now on TV saying that they're putting the art mural. We're actually one of the first before Rochelle came into that position for the mayor. You can find that over at Whitlow's Barbershop right here on between Montgomery and Vicksburg.
Mm-hmm.
Then we redeveloped Hyden Park, which is over there by Sacred Heart Seminary and all of them. We're still working on that project as well. We adopted that park.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a whole lot of things. We tore down 40% of the commercial and residential properties that was over there from Lawrence to Carter, all in that stretch. We were the instrumental part of getting Ilio's Coffee House placed there. Unfortunately, you know, residents do some amazing things, sometimes negative, and the place got broken into. So they closed it down, but they reopened it with a black ownership called Harmony Cafe.
And where is that located?
That's right there on Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Around Glendale.
Yes, I've been there, yeah.
So we've had a lot of integral space to cover in that area. We have our six adopted school program, our adopted school programs where we have six schools here in the city of Detroit. And then we have two schools in Chicago, and we have one school in Los Angeles and one school in New York. We offer the Ida M. Jones Scholarship, which is a $2,000 scholarship. It's not a lot of money, but it's a lot for us.
It's a lot for the kids, yeah.
And it covers all 4 years. It allows them, as long as they go to the Department of Education and they want to be teachers. So that gives them an opportunity to get a $2,000 scholarship. And either they're attending Wayne State or they're going to Eastern Michigan.
I noticed you do, you focus a lot on students, schools, kids. I know you're working on some projects now. Tell us a little bit about those current projects.
So we have New Paradigm Glazer Academy. Used to be just Glazer Elementary School right there on LaBelle Street, right over there by Focus Hope.
Yeah.
So we're working with them to put a new computer lab in that school. They have computers in there, but they're not up to date, so they can't use the software in those schools. So now we're talking with and the Detroit Pistons. HP, you a Packer.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with all of them about the digital divide. And so we're trying to make sure that those 177 children that's in that elementary school be able to have access to computers, real desktop computers, so they can actually achieve their goals of gaining advanced education. The other part is, too, we deal with their athletic, so we're working to get them some cheerleader uniforms. So if people who are listening, if they have donated cheerleader outfits, uniforms, we're working with PAL and Nike to get them some new uniforms.
You know, I noticed you don't put yourself in a box. It's like, because when I asked you, what's your mission, what do? It has gone across the board, you know, so you don't limit yourself to any particular thing. You want to raise up.
Yeah, well, because our nonprofit 501c3 was just a mentoring program. It was actually a basketball camp, and then it grew into a mentoring because of the Free Press. Because the Free Press at that time labeled us as one of the best summer programs to attend in Ann Arbor.
Great.
And so we were like, okay, let's put this mentoring program inside of it, because a year ago during that time period in 2001, the kids in Southside, I saw like 70% of the kids having gun issues. So I wanted to do something that was going to attract all for one to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be pigeonholed to just one project,
right,
or a program.
Right.
I wanted to be able to adjust to the times.
Gotcha.
And
yeah,
that's what we did.
And
we've been doing it for 23 years.
And it's so important now more than ever to be able to be flexible, because things are changing. We came through one of the biggest changes ever in world history. I don't think a lot of people realize how big this pandemic was. They may realize it in years to come, but I've never saw the world shut down before in my life.
True.
What drives you every day? This is my last question before we go to the Sunday morning team. I know they've got questions or comments for you. But what drives you each day to get up and give yourself as a volunteer around this town?
Well,
basically that's what you do.
Everybody calls and asks me to help them.
You know, it's like in school when the teacher asks, you know, who can answer this question? You put your hand up. That's you.
Basically. I'm a cancer survivor.
Mm.
I had Hodgkin's disease in 2001.
Mm.
And that changed my perspective. You know, your life is threatened, and then you win, and then you start thinking like, there has to be a purpose for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God let you and you know, live through this? And then that purpose.
Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell you this, but things like that really impact me. I grew up as the kid of the Salvation Army officers. My mom and dad were both majors in the Salvation Army. And I grew up in that environment of helping people. And I just happen to be an ambassador. It's two things they're calling me at LLS, an ambassador and a visionary for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan.
Yeah.
I just took on that last year, and we've got some big plans for this year, because it's important that the African-American community know that there are resources available to them through LLS support, you know. And then there are research and clinical trials being done to help fight this. I'm glad that you have come through that and fought it. And
I didn't even know what the heck it was.
See, and that's my job now for Metro Detroit. Yes, to let people know about these crippling diseases, and it hits our community more than any other community. You know, we suffer from the cancers more than anybody. And isn't it? And I know it's why you're doing what you do with All for One, because Detroit ends up on the top of the top of the list for the worst things and the bottom of the list for the best things
all the time.
You know,
born and raised in the city of Detroit, I grew up right there on Dexter and Davidson and all of those areas, on Pasadena and some of those areas. And so I seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I remember when Devil's Night was in the garage all day, every day.
Yes.
Olympia Stadium, hanging out over there. I tell my kids all the time, we used to eat at Red Barnes. They'd be like, what's Red Barnes? I was like, that's a chicken joint.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Kentucky Fried Chicken over there.
Red Barnes. Yeah. That's Farmer Jack.
Right. AMP. You know, we had all of those things
right
there in that area. That 12th and Virginia Park. But my fight was not to be who I am now. My fight was to just give people an opportunity to see things better than where they were laid out for.
Yes.
And so when people hear 30 years of the same promise making, I just wanted to change that narrative. So I used a Fall for One, and then I created Pleasant Heights under it to be able to do just that. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm tired of hearing somebody come into my neighborhood telling
talking.
Me, yeah, what you do and more. So when they started closing the recreation system, I led a march, and I brought in Brightmore and Kurt Mays and all of those guys, and then we led a march and started my political career because it was Joanne Watson who chased me down and said, who was the one that led this march? So I went up there, and I spoke, and I told them, I am the next leader of this city. And now forever, things are going to change as long as I'm
one of those people that believe that it's on the way. You're going to go into a whole nother level, another arena, because you've set yourself up for that, and we're ready. Let me go to the Sunday morning team, our political analyst, Henrietta Ivey. Henrietta, go right ahead.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Ishmael, for joining the Sunday morning team this morning. I met you some years ago, and I've watched your work, and you have grown and done some amazing things in the community with your organization and reaching out to families and youth in the community. So my question to you is, what's next for Ishmael? You have done so many amazing things. I know it's a very broad question, but I'm just kind of interested in knowing and moving forward. I know you ran for office. Are you planning to run for another political office? Because, you know, you and I said it together. We're going to keep on doing it. Like we, you said our favorite word, we're going to run this city. So what's next for you, Ishmael?
Well, the fun part is I run the city without even being in the seat. I still do all the things I want to do. I still build and all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tackling mental health now. I'm really focused on mental health because I had lost 7 kids to depression after the pandemic. So I'm really tackling that. I have a young lady by the name of Fataji Hendricks Bailey, who I'm working with on some of the mental health awareness programs. I'm working with a lot of social workers.
She's amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm working with a lot of social workers and psychiatrists and all of those things. So I'm dealing with those issues. Am I running for office? I have no plan to run. Let me say it that way.
Right now.
I'm more.
Don't it sound like he's planning to run for president? Are you going to run for president? I'm not going to do anything at the moment. You know, that's how people talk when they're going to run.
Right. That's
something.
How you do it. That's how you do it. You keep it on the
road. I plan to keep helping.
City
everybody.
Council?
No.
What?
No, me
what?
And Fred.
No,
Fred.
No.
I Fred.
That was so loud.
Yeah,
no.
Ain't no juice in that. Ain't no power in that to do nothing. I don't want to be coattailed to somebody else's decisions.
I agree with you, Ishmael.
Wait, Ishmael. You make it sound like they just vote and do things because the mayor.
You said. I can do that with my wife. My wife tell me what to do, and I have to listen to that and do what I need to do.
That's right.
All right.
That's called wisdom.
Henrietta, he's sharp. He's sharp. I was trying to get him to say something like that so we can be controversial.
I've been doing this for a long time. Okay, I know who's in front of me. I've been blessed.
That's it. Yep.
I know Kimberly.
I have one more question for you, Ishmael.
David Davis and all of them. Yes, ma'am.
I'm ready.
Listen, now you mentioned something about mental health, and I was, and I know that that is the strongest platform out here right now, because mental health has hit every aspect of our city, of our nation.
Sure has.
I also want to throw this out there, because you know I am a home care advocate, and that word home care advocate is strong, because I work with policymakers and legislators, community activists, and home care workers themselves, uplifting that workforce. And I found within that workforce there is a lot of mental distress, and it's not being highlighted, so to speak. And so I'm pushing to show that the reason why I fight so hard for this profession, because I know there are people who think when you hear the word home care worker or home care aide or home care, home health care, it's like, oh, they don't do anything. You know, it's light work. And let me be clear, it's not. I've been working in this field for many, many years, worked alongside a lot of people, and it's deeper than that. And I have seen the stress in these workers. So I was wondering, when you're talking about your platform and mental health, are we going to reach every aspect of mental health and find out who is it affecting, and how do we make it
better? That's why I'm not the smart banana in the room, okay? So that's why I gravitate towards other people who know more than I do. One blessed thing about politicians are is this, and when you won't like myself, you don't claim to know everything. But what you do know is how to collect people together to maximize their efforts to get the things done. So, yes, I did work in the hospital. Right? Before I became who I am now, I was working at St. Joseph's. Okay, I was working at Sinai. Okay, I worked at Eisenhower Center.
Is that where I met you at Sinai? Because I worked at Sinai Grace, too. That's probably where I met you. But anyway.
Right. And then I was working at Eisenhower in Ann Arbor. Right, for traumatic brain injury. So I know that healthcare plays a role in our daily lives. So, well, when the time comes, I become state rep. It's been like the NBA finals for me, Mike. It's been missing me. I'm like Michael Jordan of this in this league, right? Night from 84 to 91, it's been missing me. But I think that time is coming closer for me to be the state legislator. I will earmark money towards mental health. I will tackle that to make sure that we open up mental health clinics. It was a travesty on the Engler's tour when he was governor. But I am going to bring that back. I'm looking at that YMCA, that old YWCA over there on Dexter. That was a mental health place until they got. And I'm going to reestablish that. I'm going to have that open.
Yeah, it was devastated under
And so we filled more of the private jails.
Yeah.
Yeah, we filled up more of the private jails to make sure that we had good workers. Because, you know, in Michigan, we don't have enslavement workers anymore. But we use prisons as a means to get free labor. So I want to direct that opportunity to make sure that money is earmarked. Now, I won't be one. Henrietta that goes by the system, you know, that's just not who I am. So look, I'm not taking crumbs. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to take crumbs. I'm never going to be like, okay, you gave me $50,000, so I'm going to use that to give to community members. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm taking $1 million, I'm building a recreation center, right? I'm really going to build. If I take another million or $2 million, I'm building that mental health. Because that's what you brought me in this, you know, this is what you keep me around for, basically, right? Because I have the ability to make those things happen because I've done them before. I believe that if you do the work first, people understand you second when you say you're knocking on somebody's door and telling them, I want to be a leader. Because now they know. Well, Ishmael Cherry's been doing this for a long time. If he say he's going to fix something, he's going to fix something, he's going to do this, I'm entrusting that he's going to do it. The second thing about me is I don't send people to talk on my behalf. I'm going to talk to you personally. You can call me everything under the child of God. I learned that from all of those old heads that was before me, all my mentors before me.
I learned how to have thick skin. So mm-hmm. I'm used to being called everything because I'm working with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't the first rodeo. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to handle myself in any capacity. I like working up in D.C. I ain't going to lie to you. I've been up there. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
But I love working in the state of Michigan where I came yeah. from, and especially in the city mm-hmm. of Detroit. Everybody and their mama is asking me to be the next mayor of the city of Detroit. And I said, no. And they was like, why you don't want to be the mayor? Because I don't like the position. I like to be the state legislator because that's where I fit. That's my niche. And then your state senator. Mm-hmm. And then I'm retiring, mm-hmm. boys and girls. I'm retiring. I'm not
yep.
doing
city
I'm not doing none of those things at 60-something years old, 70-something years old.
Exactly.
I'm going to be on my boat. I'm going to be on my boat.
Yep. That's
I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to drink my whiskey.
I think that's something that Michael said one day. We was like, we're going to do these things, and we're going to retire on our boats in our 60s. You're not doing this past 60-something.
No.
We just not.
Right.
Like, me and Michael had that conversation, yep. literally. Like, we're
yep.
going to finish this out, and then we're going to be done.
Yeah. I'm going to hang out with people
it's
like Kevin. Me and Kevin going to the basketball game, Kimberly. Me and Kevin going to go to the basketball game.
I hear.
You know, that's what I
you
like to
what?
Do.
Yeah.
Well,
and you know what?
Kimberly,
it's
like
hearing the younger people for it. Yeah.
Yes.
Making
Kimberly,
sure we get the younger people in line for it.
I do. I have a couple of things I want to say. One, Ishmael, thank you so much for all the work that you do. You are such an inspiration,
yeah.
and it is incredible to hear about your accomplishments and all the dedication. I want to caution everyone because we say that city council members who are elected don't have power in juice. And the problem is when you work in politics, you understand why you say that. But
mm-hmm.
the reality is, as a normal citizen in the city who is going to work every day, who's struggling to pay their energy bill, who may have lost power because of the winter storm, who do you talk to? You don't know who to talk to. You may not be able to get to the mayor's office, but you can get mm-hmm. to your city council member. So let's make sure that we remember that these are important elected people that are connectors to our city government.
But you know
there
what, Kimberly, sometimes
yes.
they don't use their power to the, their advantage.
Vote them out.
And
yes.
you
and
don't
you
hear too
out.
Much dissension on that committee when they, on that table at the city council. It seems like
mm-hmm.
when something comes up, it's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of time before they're all on board. You know, I don't know what happens
exactly.
to the conversations, where they're discussing
mm-hmm.
it, who they're talking to,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like just a matter of time, you know, they're all going to be on board and there's going to be a majority
right.
for whatever is being presented.
And I'm not saying that they don't have
right.
the juice or the power. What I'm saying is they don't have the juice and the power to stand up for what they really want to stand up for, right?
Okay.
They have the juice.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah, so they have the juice and the power to be able to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to call this administration, I'm going to call this team, and I'm going to have them come by and fix
mm-hmm.
your street, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, let's change the standard. We knew that when, before even Ken Cockrell Sr., you know that, when Mary Mahaffey and all of those people started running the show, it was ran by a two-star government, right? You couldn't just have a mayor-driven city. You had city council
mm-hmm.
to make sure that those decision-makings
yeah.
were
yeah.
fair and just. That's what
yeah.
I mean by juice
yeah.
and power. Let's make
yeah.
it fair
right.
and just.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 30-mile inward is great. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
We doing a
mm-hmm.
great job on fixing downtown, okay?
We
got
to get the rest of the city.
Right. There you go, 30
miles outward.
We got to make
mm-hmm.
sure that they are taken care of because we're losing
absolutely.
Them. That's why I'm
yep.
saying about the juice and the power. Move your juice and power out in those areas. Make sure that they understand
absolutely.
Because if you talk to most of those people in those residents, they don't even know who your city council members are. They only know
true.
Mary
no,
Sheffield because she's on TV and she on radio.
Exactly.
Or if, you know.
Yep.
But if they move
yep.
that cohesive power and juice into those neighborhoods, man, you'll get more than 30% of the votes turnout. You'll get more than 12%
right.
of the votes turnout
yep.
because now they have
yep.
confidence that we know what we're doing. And so
right.
Right. it's a true blessing mm-hmm. to say I work with a lot of them. You know, we in every facet of the form, I work with a lot of them to achieve their goals, right? Be it me,
very
big
good.
Or small,
mm-hmm.
I know that if they trust in me and I entrust in them, we can conquer a lot of things in this city. And it doesn't matter by
mm-hmm.
the color of the skin. It just matters by the person
right.
just and fair. If
you're
just and fair,
exactly.
people will respond to you and say, okay, I believe in what
yep.
Tate is doing because he's working with Ishmael to do this. Right, or I trust
mm-hmm.
Benson,
mm-hmm.
or I trust Sheffield, or I even trust Durham.
So you do find cooperation.
Yeah,
yeah.
but you have to have a niche.
Right.
You have to be able to see
right.
what they're missing and what you bring to the table. Because what they're missing,
right.
you might have something that they don't have. So if you work together,
right.
now you feel those things. Now people are
mm-hmm.
entrusting in their leadership core in their community.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because
mm-hmm.
now they say
exactly.
they're all working together. They got the same common goals.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't have to come and piggyback to his staff.
Right.
I can come right to him. And so
mm-hmm.
that's where we missing right now. So once we get that back, I believe those numbers are going to go up.
Chaplain Kathy,
yeah.
you got
mm-hmm.
a question or comment for
mm-hmm.
Ishmael Terry from All for One Detroit.
Heard some great things about him. I commend him for that, which he's doing, and on behalf of the International Police and Fire Captains Association, we commend you and we thank you for what you are doing. But what I would like to ask is I noticed that you stated that you have an interest in with mental health. Have you tried doing anything now and to push the ideas or desires that you have to help in the mental health era?
Yes, sir. So, you know, one, outside of hosting town halls, you know, due to the pandemic, we can't get to everybody. So we do town halls still. I also host the National Youth Leadership Regional Conference. We just hosted one
okay.
over at Henry Ford College. You know, they turned it to a university now. So we tackle those issues as well inside of that platform. And so we've been doing a lot of work. And then I've been talking to the legislators about the opportunities of reestablishing that YWCA building. So I've been working on that.
That's a good thing. If you can, remind them that they still have all that property over there at Herman Kiefer.
Yeah, unfortunately,
that's tied up
in that planning development, and so
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things that's going on with that facility. Even
okay.
in 2013, 2014, when they first brought it to what they want to do with that building, it was
right.
a gentleman that was going to purchase it, but he just didn't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So then that closed that effort now. But they're still on the books. It's still on the books for it to be redeveloped. And yet there is a lot of internal and external issues with that facility. So you're talking about a $14 to maybe $17 billion project.
Wow.
So if you got that kind of money, welcome to Detroit. Hello,
that
Detroit.
Is,
like the song used to say with Sammy Davis Jr. We'll welcome you to purchase that building. But that is still under
thank
the books
you,
for the city.
Thank you, and keep
yeah.
up the good work, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My, how time goes. Ishmael Terry, this has been very interesting, very informative. And I think you're one of those people that we need to have back periodically to just for updates as to what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm on the zoning committee now.
Thank you so much for being on the show this morning. I know we've been we're going to make it up, though. We're going to definitely have you back on a regular basis to find out what you're doing, and of course, you know, whatever the commissioner can do for you, I'm your contact, so
yeah.
You know, I know you know Commissioner McCormick very well over the years too, and what you know we support and agree with everything that you're doing for our community. So we're right on board with you, and you got the numbers to reach us.
thank you for having me, to Henrietta Ivy and to Kimberly Batchelor Davis, who's been always been a big supporter of mine during our challenges of running around in the community. And to yourself, Michael, I want to say thank y'all for taking the time to invite me. It won't be the last. Y'all guys got
That's
a fight
right.
on your hands because 9-10 always is like, Ishmael, what you doing? Can you come on the show?
Well, let me tell you, the Sunday morning team and I, we've already just talked about it. This show is going to be Detroit's Sunday morning news and information podcast. So you're in the right place, and we're about to take it even higher. Right, team?
Yes, right. Yes. Absolutely.
I love all of y'all, and thank y'all for bringing me out on this Sunday. I'm usually rejuvenating.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I got my bath on right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you,
stick around for a few minutes and listen to the show. We've got some more things we want to cover and talk about. And so just, you know, have some coffee. You know, he is here in the studio, so you know he's being treated very well here.
Nice.
Yes. All right. We will be right back with news, weather, and some additional bits of information over the past week. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. But now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring three affordable business services directly to you. Number one, radio advertising and production services. Number two, customized business services and workshops. And number three, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one. One community. One neighborhood. One city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300.
No matter what we do, we are one.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight.
We are back.
I promise you that everything is gonna be alright.
Just had a lively conversation with Ishmael Terry from All for One, and doing some great things in the community, and looking forward to having him back again to do some updates and as to see what's going on and what they're doing. In the news this morning, and I'll try to do this without any additional commentary, but if I have to, I'll say something. A Georgia woman finds herself in a crummy situation because she allegedly drove her SUV into a Popeyes after realizing she didn't get the biscuits she ordered. According to WJBF, police said Belinda Miller almost hit another woman who was standing inside the Richmond County Popeyes on Saturday night when she drove her car through the wall and doors of the building. The Post, Georgia woman allegedly crashed her car into a Popeyes because she didn't get biscuits, appeared first
on Blavity.com. Police said the 50-year-old woman, who is now arrested, continued to force her vehicle another 4 feet inside the building after the initial crash. Miller only stopped because the building debris didn't allow her car to go any further. The Popeyes manager said Miller received her biscuits after employees initially forgot to give it to her. Still, she proceeded to crash her car because she wasn't happy. Miller is charged with aggravated assault and first-degree criminal damage to property. Amazing how people get so angry that over fast food stuff to just want to crash into the building. Unbelievable. A legal complaint says that after a boat arrived at the snorkeling site, the captain told the group they'd have an hour to explore before another location down in the Caribbean. This couple, Webster, the law firm, Webster and Burkle, alleged in the lawsuit that they were given no advice about a specific return time or how to get back to the boat or what explicitly to do in case of an emergency. I remember this in the movie Adrift. You all saw that movie when they were the shark?
Yes.
With a couple of people out on the boat. And when they come back up, the boat's gone. And if you saw the movie, you know what happened. They stayed out in that water overnight. I think it was a few nights. And unfortunately, they never made it back to shore. But this couple made it back. The lawsuit says that crew members performed 3 head counts and that other passengers said people were not made to sit or stay still for the roll call. Our facts show that they did a head count, came up too short, then did another head count, came up too short. I mean, how many times do you need to count? 2 people
exactly.
are missing. So don't
Two
leave
people are missing.
Unbelievable. They said it was so confusing during the counting. People were talking, moving about, and that's why it was so confusing. So the couple's lawsuit alleges that they realized the boat had left. They continued to swim and make distress calls. Eventually, they did get to land, but by the time they got there, they were wore out, dehydrated. Local residents found them on the beach and gave them water and called the police. They need to get paid. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's hard.
They need to get paid. I saw that movie. I've seen it a few times, and I would never, ever want to get stranded out in the middle of the ocean. And when nighttime comes and it's dark, you just can't see anything. And then the sharks start circling, jellyfish. Have you ever been stung by jellyfish? Oh.
No.
Nope.
Don't want to be.
And you
don't want to
worry about sharks. There are little fish that bite at you.
Because you're in the ocean. You're in their living room.
The
They're like,
right.
hey.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're just food.
That's it.
What would you do if somebody left a plate of barbecue ribs, corn on the cob?
It's Christmas. Somebody left
ribs. It's Christmas.
Oh.
You're going in.
You know.
You're going in. It's Christmas time.
I guess that's where. I guess you could say that's the benefit of us skinny people, because if they hit me, I ain't gonna be nothing but a snack. You know what I mean?
Right.
They'll leave me alone.
They're going to have to come after somebody else.
Yeah, see, you got to – I go in the water, just kidding.
They ain't going to get much with me either.
They ain't going to get nothing about me either.
On a good day, I weigh about 140, 150.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's a whole other topic.
But I'll say they'll have a good meal chewing up on me. How about that?
I don't think
we're
going to be the buffet for show.
Chapman's
always trying to start something.
I
Wow. Look,
oh
in Texas, a middle school teacher told his students in November that he was ethnocentric and thought his race was superior, and then attempted to explain his position to the kids, to explain his point of view. He said, let me finish. I think that, you know, we just need to be honest about it. Look, let me tell you something. Haven't a lot of these white teachers over the years, it's been all hundreds of years until they started allowing us to read. And as soon as we get into class, they want to come and tell us that we're not good, that we're going to fail, you're going to be a failure, you're not smart enough, you're not going to be successful, you know. And now what this article is saying, they did a study, is that the teachers are trying to use bigger words, you know, trying to sound all technical, but they're saying the same thing. The kids are coming home and they're telling their parents, and the parents are like, what did he say? Say that again? See, they think they're going to get away with this stuff. Unbelievable. I got the article here. They're trying to talk in codes, and they're trying to still do this racist stuff and using coded words, coded language. We're still not good. We're still not getting putting up with this. They're still
trying to, you know how many people have
African-American kids in schools over the years, last couple hundred years, been told all those negative things, and guess what a lot of them did? Gave up. And they just became a failure because that's what they heard.
That's what they heard,
If I may say, if there's anything, if there's anything that ever happened in this life that show black folks, us as a black people, that we can make it, don't forget that we had a black president. Come on, white people.
Right.
Don't forget that we had a black president. So that means that we got a generation. That's just something that they do to try to clog because they went to bed with a thesaurus. You see what I'm saying? So when you go to bed with a thesaurus, you come up with different words. Instead of saying beautiful, you say beneficent. So, well, I tell you, don't forget, we had a black president. So they try to discourage our younger generation from moving to as high as they potential could have possibly take them. But I say to God be the glory.
God be the glory.
Amen.
Yes, it says that the teacher in question that I talked about has since been fired. And, when they catch
that
him on
the
recording, that really helps too.
Yeah. These kids are smart. They know how to pull them phones out.
Yes,
they do.
Chap and Kathy, you said something?
I was agreeing with Sister when she said they know how to pull their phones out. Yes, they do.
Yes. DTE Energy says that 90% of 100,000 people who lost power to the second storm will have it restored by the end of the day Monday. There's 65,000 people still without power this morning, but they're making progress. And I tell you, every time we get a storm, it seems like it affects our power. And, you know, they do need to upgrade the power system, the power grid. This stuff is so weak, and we keep adding more and more stuff, you know, with all these smartphones, gaming. We just added online gambling. We've got cable systems. There's too much on this grid. So whenever there's a fluctuation in power, whenever there's a windstorm, snowstorm, it comes crashing down. But they're going to have to upgrade it. They're going to have to in order to sustain all this technology. We keep adding all this technology to an antiquated system. It can't handle this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing is, I stumbled on this. I did not know. And did you guys know that the old nursery rhymes and fairy tales were originally horror stories meant to teach little kids about
I
life?
I have the book.
I didn't know.
I have the book.
My son was watching a show this week, and they mentioned it. you know, one of those CSI or whatever.
It's called Grimm's Fairy Tale.
Yeah, and I did not know that there was, that's how the thing started. I'll just give you one
There's
example.
There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yes. The three blind mice.
Yep.
Read this to you. Three blind mice.
Mm-hmm.
See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tails with a carving knife. That one actually slipped through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice? But guess what that's about? In the 17th century, Britain, I'm not surprised, Britain, Protestants and Catholics didn't get along. The three blind mice were the three Protestant loyalists who were accused of plotting against the Catholic Queen Mary, called Bloody Mary, because of the massacres of Protestants carried out in her name. Queen Mary is the farmer's wife, but she didn't cut off their tails of the three prominent Protestant plotters. She burned them at the stake. And then, did you ever see such a thing in your life? I am just blown away. But the longer I live, the more I find out about the royal family. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just
going
to hindsight that it is always good to find out the origin of these children's lullaby. Everything has an origin to it. When you find out what the origin of some of these, to some of this stuff out here, you'd be like, oh, no, I'm not celebrating that no more, because it looks pretty when they give it to you, like Christmas. If anyone knows the story behind Christmas, they fame it as the birth of Christ, and that's what we, but the pagan holiday behind it is horrific. Like, it really is.
Right. That's
so
why we need to know history. We need to know history, not just ours. We need to know world history. Look at this. Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. You know what that's about? When
children
on the playground fall down laughing at the end of this rhyme, they are reenacting the great plague of 1665 in which a quarter of London's population, 100,000 people fell down dead. The rosy may refer to the rash caused by the bubonic plague. The pocket full of posies, the satchels people carried with them to mask the ever-present smell of death. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely correct. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nobody told me.
Yep.
Ishmael, nobody told me about this cute little nursery rhymes I grew up learning.
I never read them to my children.
I didn't know. You know, but I grew up in Bermuda on an island. It was a British protectorate, okay? So I grew up thinking that everything the royal family did was right. I grew up thinking these nursery rhymes were so innocent. I also grew up listening to the Beatles, Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck, Terry Beck, and she's laughing.
That's awesome.
Hey.
My family is from Haiti.
So you know a little bit about that. Okay. I grew up thinking that the royal family was just one loving family with a rich history. I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Kimberly,
origins are something.
Let's do some weather. While I get educated on some things here, I'm stunned. I'm shocked.
So, Michael, we're going to have to get you the Grimm's Fairy Tale so you can read some of the originals, because the originals are our work.
Yeah.
Anyway, switching over to weather. The sun is out right now,
killing
guys.
People.
Exactly. But the sun is out. It's 39 degrees. It feels like 34. Today, you're going to see partly cloudy skies with a high of 42 degrees. The low of 32.
Nice.
Tomorrow, expect rain and snow showers, and it will be breezy with a high of 48 degrees. Where is this? Somebody need some help
on
here.
Now.
You got some
help.
Amen.
A high of 48 and a low of 34.
You got a lot of help today.
It'll be partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 39 and a low of 26. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 37 and a low of 25. On Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a high of 37 and a low of 28. On Friday, rain and snow showers return with a high of 34 and a low of 30. And next Saturday, expect rain and snow showers with a high of 37 and a low of 23. And that's the weather.
I'm going to give you some help just because it's you that's doing the weather.
Thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
John,
we
appreciate you.
Chaplain, you got
right
some
here
help on this today.
Yeah, you got some help.
Yes.
It's better than the weather
being
in the
team. Sunday morning team. I got one more nursery rhyme. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill
that's
came tumbling after. And guess what that was about? Jack and Jill were a couple of 17th century teens who went up the hill to have sex. And it looked like it didn't end well. Somebody came falling down.
Well.
Jack runs away and abandons Jill, who is left pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
You going to make me stop drinking water.
Yeah.
I'm going to be saving some of these for next week.
Wow.
I knew, you know what? Woo. Think about it. Think about it. They went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down, busted his head, and Jill came tumbling after.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
I'm waiting to hear what he got to say about Humpty Dumpty.
How bad the story was until just now.
Uh-oh. I'm waiting to hear what you got to say about Humpty Dumpty. Fell off the wall. And that ought to be amazing. Because I always wanted to know how that Humpty Dumpty fell off that wall, right?
Okay, since you mentioned it, Chaplain, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. This little children's rhyme is about death and drunkenness. Humpty Dumpty was a popular 17th century drink made from brandy and ale. Humpty, did you know that? Humpty Dumpty was a drink.
I didn't know that either. Wow.
With me. So he was sitting on the wall and he fell off. It can also have been referred to as a massive armored weapon hauled to the wall used to rain down death on attacking troops during the English Civil War. Okay, that's enough for Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
Well, wait till you get to Little Red Riding Hood. That's going to blow your mind.
And I thought that was, now that I'm thinking about it, right. Mm-hmm. You're going to fall off the wall.
Yeah. And if you want to sit up on a tall wall and you jump, of course you're going to crack your head and you ain't going to make it.
Exactly.
You're going to hit that bar real
hard.
Right.
I should have been paying attention to this stuff. I used to like Humpty Dumpty. Anyway. All right. Let's go. We're running out of time. Henrietta, what you got for us this morning?
Listen, with all the nursery rhyme tragedies that's been going on, it's like, how do you follow that with the story you want to tell? Another tragedy. But here it is in light. It's not a tragedy per se, but it's a tragedy where a Detroit student left with a gash in her head after being hit with a metal hockey stick by a substitute teacher. The young girl was later found walking in the school hallway, dazed and confused, with blood dripping down from her face. Now, this happened March 3rd at the, the student name is Shakira Thomas. She's a former student at Detroit's Hope Academy Elementary School. She was hit with a metal hockey stick thrown by her substitute teacher, meant for another student. The young girl told Fox 2 News that the teacher, Jacqueline Brown, was angry with another student in her class, and she was yelling and doing some cussing. The next thing she knew, she felt something hard hit her upside her head. Thomas was left dazed and confused, and she didn't realize her hockey stick had hit her. Fox 2 reports her family plans to sue the school, of course, and the teacher, the charter school, and the staffing company that placed the substitute student there. Make a long story short, what teacher is in the classroom with that kind of anger, number one? What's happening with our school system that we are not finding qualified replacements for teachers who are on vacation or teachers that are, you know, planning to leave for other positions? Are we that eager in the Detroit school system? Now, mind you, you hear a lot of this happen in Detroit. I'm a lot angry about that. Why is this happening to our students? Why are we placing, why are we not doing background checks, number two? Number three, they lost track of this administrator. She got ghost. She left. No one can contact her. So that means wherever she's going, she can take that anger somewhere else. The fact that she meant to hit another student and accidentally hit the wrong student does not set right with me. And she has not apologized to the family or the student for her actions. That says something to me politically, and I say that because, again, why are we not fine-tooth-combing who we put in these schools with our children? Why is someone sitting there feeling like they can swing a golf club and hit any student, let alone the wrong student, but any student, and then get the opportunity to walk away and not be heard from again? So I said we need stronger legislation, and we need to get into this education a little bit deeper when it comes to Detroit students. Our babies are in these schools, and we want to make sure they're safe. And they need to find her, prosecute her, and lock her behind up. And she needs to give a whole apology to the family and the school that she represented.
You know.
And that's my political piece.
And then guess what? We're, as taxpayers in this town, we're going to end up paying because they're going to get sued,
mm-hmm.
like the department mm-hmm. gets sued.
They're, that part.
That's our money.
Yep.
Yep.
What they need to do is make sure they're prosecuted and put in jail.
That's it. Yep. Yep. And like you said, Michael, that piece of we have to cover that cost. We are already strapped according to, you know, statistics when
That's
it comes to money
so
in this city.
It's expensive in this town. Everything is expensive. The party stores, the prices are going up. I went to get
everything.
Some orange juice the other day. Something that used to cost me less than $1.
It's like $1.29, you know?
Now it's $3.50. For you know that regular bottle of orange juice that we all drink ever
mm-hmm.
fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about 30 ounces, 32 ounces.
Yep.
$3.50.
Wow.
And that's
mm-hmm.
everything else is going up too. But so has our insurance always been high. Just the cost of living in this town is
going,
unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this
mm-hmm.
these lawsuits drive up our cost.
These lawsuits are hitting us. Yeah.
Yes, I have some clients today wanted to start non-emergency transportation. And
mm-hmm.
the insurance for the, you know, those vehicles cost a lot because you got to have the wheelchair lifts, and those are expensive. But you know what
mm-hmm.
the biggest cost was after the purchase of the little shuttles? Was insurance.
Insurance.
Mm-hmm. To insure the vehicles because you're carrying – you know, people, sick people and things like
people,
that.
Yeah.
So I'm going into the doctor's office and stuff, and they're in wheelchairs. They're, you know, challenged. And the cost is so high. Yeah. But thanks for that.
It's incidents like this, Michael, that causes our things to go up in the city. But again, I just, legislative-wise, we need to find out how that educational fund is actually working in favor of Detroit students and their families.
Yes. Yes. You know what? Ismael Terry just waiting to jump in here. I'm going to give him the mic. Go ahead.
So up in Lansing. So, you know, we get about $14 billion worth of educational funding from the federal end.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually when we get ready for our October budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually put into a unrestricted funding. Now, when I tell these to schools, unrestricted funds are different than restrictive funds. Restrictive funds is when we can only use the budget to what we're earmarking for. Unrestricted dollars is when we can we go into there and utilize that for our road bridges, fixed streets and things of that nature that we have the capacity to build. Usually when we do into these budgets, the educational funding is usually what is in the unrestricted. When appropriation is utilizing the funds to balance out the budget, that's where we get a lot of our dollars from. It behooves me to say that we always have this narrative that we don't know where funding is coming from in our education. That's because we're taking out of that pot. So we're now utilizing some of that funding to go to other issues like technology. Like when we had that portion in the state where we had to consolidate different departments, right? We use unrestricted dollars to make that happen. And sometimes that comes from education. Sometimes that comes from transit. Those fundings that we have to have those different committees for, we take those dollars from there and utilize it for certain other things that matters the most. So does it sound fair? Probably not. But we actually work to make sure that those dollars meet up with a budget number that we can actually get passed through. And that's the truth.
Okay.
Well, Ismael, you're a money guy, too. I got to remember that, too. So you can bring it from both parts, the social aspect and then the cost factor, too.
True.
So thank you for adding that. Appreciate it.
I definitely want to connect with you after the show, too. I definitely want to have some conversation with you.
Absolutely. He's got the thumbs up. All right, Kimberly.
So I have a feel-good story. Man who didn't read or write until his late teens becomes Cambridge University's youngest black professor because black history
is
history that can be celebrated every day of the year. A boy with autism who could not read or write until his late teens is now the youngest ever black professor at Cambridge University 20 years later. As a child, Jason Erday was diagnosed with global developmental delay, which affecting his ability to learn how to talk and read. Speechless until age 11, therapists even predicted he would spend his adult life in assisted living, requiring lifelong support. This 37-year-old has now taken up one of the most prestigious professorships in one of the world's top universities and is the youngest black person to do it. Despite growing up with a learning disability in a disadvantaged area of Clapham, London, he had huge questions to ask the world. Erday, who now teaches sociology, remembers thinking, why are some people homeless? They're war. I remember thinking, if I don't make it as a football player, then I want to save the world. He finally learned to read and write in his teens and became a PE teacher after studying at the University of Surrey. He knew he wanted to study and learn more, but had little training or guidance to do so. When I started writing academic papers, I had no idea what I was doing. I did not have a mentor, and no one ever showed me how to write. At age 27, he wrote on his bedroom wall at his parents' house, "One day I will work at Oxford or Cambridge." He remembers his college friend, Sandy, telling him, "I think you can do this. I think we can take on the world and win." Looking back, that was when I first really believed in myself. A lot of academics say they stumbled into this line of work, but from that moment, I was determined and focused. I knew that this would be my goal. He wrote papers and studied by night while working as a PE teacher by day, eventually becoming an acclaimed professor with two master's degrees and a PhD in educational studies from Liverpool John Moores University. While studying for his PhD in 2015, he co-edited a groundbreaking report for the Runnymede Trust entitled Aiming Higher about racial and ethnic inequalities in British universities. He eventually published his first solo paper in 2018. The same year, he successfully secured a senior lectureship at Roehampton University before moving on to Durham University, where he was an associate professor sociology. He went on to another prestigious professorship at the University of Glasgow School of Education, making him at the time one of the youngest professors in the U.S. in the U.K. He has since written books and will now start at Cambridge March 6th as a professor of sociology of education, hoping to inspire people from underrepresented backgrounds to pursue higher education. Arde now joins five other Black professors at this institution. Only five, guys. My work focuses primarily on how we can open doors to more people from disadvantaged backgrounds and truly democratize higher education. Hopefully being in a place like Cambridge will provide me with the leverage to lead the agenda nationally and globally. And he might just save the world or his little corner of it.
That is a feel-good story.
That is a feel-good story.
You know, and it also lets you know that we're short on professors, teachers, instructors, educators, but we're also short on doctors. That was a leading story on Nightly News this past week. Not enough Black doctors. And we've got to get our kids into these higher institutions for these types of positions. Yes.
I agree.
Professors,
doctors. I have a program with a grandson who's in school for that. My grandson is going for sports medicine. So I'm so proud of him.
And that's, we got to support him. That's, you know, Ishmael, that is directly one of the things you were talking about earlier, about providing scholarships. We got to support our kids in the community. Give them support to go to these institutions like U of M and MSU and Cambridge and Harvard, because many times they're the only ones in their class.
Yeah, my daughter's
Your daughter's graduating out of Purdue. Excellent. Congratulations. See, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're
talking
about.
I love it.
Yes. Yes. Chaplain Kathy, give us you're going to have the final word this morning.
I'm going to do it like a glove. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
I thought you said you were going to keep it short, and I thought you were ending it right there.
Yeah, that was funny that you said, I'm going to have the last words, and then turn around and say, can you hear me? You hear me? Then you turn around and say, can you hear me? I'm here. You hear me? A glove was made in the image of a hand. But the glove can do nothing if the hand is not in it. No matter what we do, no matter what we talk about, we better keep God first. We better put him inside the gloves of our evermost thoughts, our evermost desires, our wants, our needs. If you keep God in the hand of that glove, keep him in there. And your marriage will be right. Your job will be better. The things that we desire, for the Bible declares that he'll give us the desires of our heart. And I just wanted to say that because everything that we talk about on the Michael, here on the Michael Van Tour Long Talk Radio Show, is significant and it's very important in our life. Everything that we hear the team and we all discuss. But at the end of it, what solution can we offer? And I say, keep the glove of God on. Keep it on. And there is nothing that you desire to do that God won't do for you. God bless you. God thank you. And God keep you. This is Brother Stetson on the Michael Van Tour
Chaplain,
Radio Show.
Chaplain, you don't even know. You just started right there with like 12 minutes to go on this program. Because you said something about the gloves. Putting your hands in the glove, and you can't do nothing unless the hand's in the glove. Here's a sermon for somebody because I've been hearing a lot of stuff about hands lately. You know, hands up when the police pull you over, you get shot anyway. And this last thing down in Memphis, how many times they said they gave this guy 71 orders they yelled at him before they shot him, kicked him into death, before they kicked him to death, they said, show me your hands. Put your hands behind your back. What is it that people feel so threatened? But you know what about a black man's hand? Because you know what?
Say, please,
a black man's
quick.
Hand is powerful. It's powerful.
You say, I don't mean to
strength.
Touch you.
But it's always about his hand.
But at this moment.
Come on, preacher.
If
it.
I could say this. If I'm sorry. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
Mm-hmm. Are you still there? Oh. But if I may say this, this is some good advice. This is some good advice I want to give to everyone when they encounter the police pullover. Turn your interior light on and just put your hands on the steering wheel. That's it.
That's it.
You can put them on the steering wheel or on the dashboard. Turn on your interior light. You know what that's going to say to that officer? That's going to say this person knows something. This person knows something or knows somebody. See, we have to start treating these situations like we know something and know somebody. We got to stop being on the defense all the time because there are some good cops out here. There are. And understandably, when they take that uniform off, they are just as human when they had it on than they are when they take it off. There are some good ones out here. So you want to know a good suggestion. Turn your interior light on in your car and please put your hands on the dashboard or the steering wheel and then go from there. And I guarantee you a lot of things will change when it comes to the officers encountering, you know, civilians and then it becomes a conflict. I apologize for cutting you off, but I meant to.
No, that's great. Thank you, because you just started a discussion there. But I just thought maybe I'll do a poem on that and do something about that, write something about it. Thank you, Sunday morning team. I just want to mention a couple of things. Commissioner McCormick just authored a resolution that will force entities that keep people in custody, like police departments, to make a notation on the death certificate if the individual died while in custody. I thought that was great because you can start tracking it now.
Absolutely.
And you can monitor and you can tell right away what happened and who was responsible for that person when they died. And then there's some other stuff she's working on. I can't really talk about it right now, but I just love the fact that Commissioner McCormick is one of those commissioners that takes action. She just doesn't sit there and not respond to things, and she is working on some other things. We'll talk about that later. The last thing on my list is I had a great time at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra last night, classical roots concert, and Bishop Charles Adams got an award. His son Christian, good friend of mine, Dr. Charles Adams, was not feeling well. And his son, Christian Adams, came to accept the award. And Jessica Kerr Moore, the famous poet from Detroit, dropped some words to the audience. Devon Tynes sang great. The conductor, a black conductor of the Detroit Symphony last night, Nazir McFadden, he did a great job. And they also mentioned our good friend, remember Damian Crutcher from Crescendo that came on the show?
Yes.
About a year or two ago.
They
mentioned him, and he was there up in the balcony, but they recognized him for a lot of the he's doing, you know, because sometimes he's out at U of M, MSU, and he helped kids with the classical arts here in Detroit. And he said he's going to come back. You know, he was with us on the Praise Network. He's coming back to be with the podcast, too, so I spoke to him last night. It was a great event, and there were some other people I ran into at the concert, too. But this was an event, an annual event, and I'm going to be going from now on to the Classical Roots Concert at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. All right, Ishmael Terry, thank you so much for being on the program this morning. I'm so glad we did the nursery rhyme topic after you, because this would have just hijacked your whole. At least you went first. We would not have recovered from that. We would not have recovered from it. Yeah.
Oh,
but Sunday morning team, this was fun this morning. I really enjoyed this show today. Have a great Sunday. It's nice and sunny. Thanks for the great report,
yes.
Kimberly. It is nice. I can't wait to get out there. But God bless you
I
all.
Know.
Have a great
God bless
day
you
today.
All.
Have a great
God
day,
everyone. Everybody ready? Everybody. That's right. Come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love him. Let's go.
I love you, Lord, I love, yes I do.
I love you, Lord, I love you. Without a cell on my plan, destined to fail. Then you whispered in my ear, all is well. Now I know.
You've been listening to the Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is going to be all right. Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky.
Everybody ready? That's right. Come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love him. Let's go.
I love